Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Again, glad to be back home. You don't know how much we missed you. So glad to be here. So amen. Well, hey, in regards to today's message, once again, as I said, it's Father's Day. And so we want to celebrate Father's Day. But as I begin, I just want to share with you just some personal recollections of life. You know, sometimes we as ministers oftentimes share windows of our life simply to help relate to everyday people. Does that make sense? You know, there's times, you know, my parents are not here. They're out of town on vacation. And they always love it when I tell stories of my younger years and all the things that I did. And sometimes they're finding things out in the middle of service as to the things that I did. You know, and they walk out of church, you know, with their head hung down and they're full of shame and thinking, dear God, I can't, you know, what kind of parents do people think we are? And it's like, it wasn't about you. It was trying to help people relate to their life, okay? So anyways, just a reflection of personal life can sometimes help individuals in their own life. And so, as we were in Oklahoma this past weekend, because it was my father-in-law's 80th birthday, my wife's sisters were also there in town. And the one sister brought her son with her. And he's only 15. He's the age of our children. And so, they always love to get together and hang out. And as we're spending time together, you know, there's some things that I'm kind of picking up on as we're there together as a family. Now, this young nephew of mine that I said is the age of my children, he's from a very affluent home. Now, when I say very affluent, I mean very affluent. He lives a lifestyle that most of you will never know. He lives a lifestyle that collectively, all of us in this room, you probably will never know. I mean, again, God is good, and so obviously God always wants to increase. I'm just saying, he lives a very affluent life. Does that make sense? In fact, he lives a life of nannies and housekeepers. He lives a life of the most elite schools in Chicago. He lives a life of the summer going to Greece and spending 2 months in Greece just on vacation. That's the kind of life that he lives. And he was hearing my other niece, she's around 38, I believe, 36, somewhere around there. And so in the conversation, she says, in the context of the adult conversation, she says, well, she says, I got to go home and I got to clean my house. And this little boy that's 15 says, you clean your house? And she's like, yes, normal people clean their house. So that's the kind of life that this young kid knows. He will never know want. And again, I don't say this condescending. He's a trust fund kid. So therefore, he will always know a lifestyle of the rich and famous. Let's just put it that way, okay? But here's one of the things that I recognize. In the midst of all that he has ever experienced or known as life, his father had a massive heart attack at the age of 8 and died. And so, as we're there collectively with the family, and we begin to do things, and my wife and the girls, they go somewhere, or maybe I'm doing something, I'm running out to do something else. And every time we part ways, my children come up to me and hug me and kiss me and say, I love you, Dad, bye. And he's standing there all by himself. And so therefore, as much as he knows from the natural side of the luxuries and the ease of life, A lifestyle that my children don't know at this time in their life. Still, they have something that he will never have, or that he'll never know. And that is the exchange of a father continually in your life. Does that make sense? And my heart grieved for this young boy, because again, I'm thinking, you've got all the things that you could ever want, but this one thing you don't have. To know the advice of a father, to know the direction and correction of a dad, to have the throwing of the ball, the going out fishing, or whatever it is, he'll never know that. And how priceless that is to have a father in your life. Amen? And so therefore, as we're again spending time with the family, my wife and I, we said to the kids, we said, hey, let's go to the arcade. So we gathered all the kids up with my young nephew. And so we went to the arcade and took them to the movies and went out to eat and all this stuff. And so as we're traveling, as we're coming back home, I thought, well, I'll just put some music on. Well, you know, there's only really one kind of music that we listen to, and that's God music, you know. And so I thought, well, I'll put some younger music on, you know, some Hillsong Young and Free. It's a little more hip, you know, got a little more pop rock kind of sound or whatever. I thought, you know, the kids will relate to it. And it's sounding cool, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, this young kid hears a sound of something that is familiar in the melody and in the tempo and in the beat of the song. But in the lyrics are exalting Jesus one song after another. And I'm thinking, as we're sitting as a family, there's this young boy that probably is hearing this music that sounds familiar in sound, but the message is something that he's never known. He's never had the opportunity to know who Jesus is, nor has he ever had the experience of knowing a heavenly Father. And I'm thinking to myself, as we're sitting there, this may be the only Jesus that he ever gets. And once again, how precious and what a privilege it is to serve God, to know the heavenly Father. Amen. And so, today I celebrate you fathers that have raised your kids or are in the process of raising your kids. We celebrate your fathers that have made you the men that you are today. But you also realize that today is a day that not everybody celebrates. Maybe there are people that are in here that didn't know a father. Maybe when you think of Father's Day or just the subject of a father, you feel abandoned. You feel rejected. Maybe on Father's Day, when everybody else is celebrating, you feel alone. And so if that's you today, I want to just spin it today as we celebrate dads. And I want to just take a moment to celebrate the Heavenly Father. Amen. I want to bring to your attention and help paint a picture of God the Father. And here's the difference. I talked about my children versus that nephew of mine. You see, that young boy has heard about God at some point in time in his life. He's not from a Christian home. He's heard about God, and maybe to an extent, he has believed in God. But there's a difference in believing in God. As for my children, they don't believe in God, they believe God. Let me say that again. As for me and my house, as for my children, they don't believe in God, they believe God. They don't know about a heavenly Father. They have a Father in God. And so once again, I want to encourage you this morning that there is a heavenly Father that loves you, that desires to know you. And maybe you have not had a father. Maybe you feel rejected. There is a heavenly Father that loves you so much and wants you to have a relationship with him. And you might say, but yes, that's different. No, it's not. You might say, yes, but that's not natural. Listen, God can become so real that he supersedes a natural relationship. I'll even take it this far. There's a friend of mine that I have that his father committed suicide at 3 years of age. And I asked him the question because he loves God. I mean, he loves God. He gets up in the morning and spends time with God. And when you get around him, man, the love of God oozes out of him. And I asked him the question. I said, what has caused you not to be angry and bitter and be just a drunk somewhere piled up in a corner? I said, what has caused you to have a relationship with God? Because he's got another brother that is the angry, bitter man that has really become just a response to that bitterness. And he says, what has changed me or what has caused me to change my outlook is that when I found God, I found a father. And he said, he became a father to me. He discovered, found, interacted with, and does interact with a father. So you might say, my dad has gone home. He's no longer with me. Listen, you still have a father. And the Bible says that he sticks closer than a brother. So that means the reality of who God is, the Father, you can know him and know his love and know his embrace and know his direction, know his peace and his comfort. You can know his inheritance. Amen? Because he's a heavenly Father. If I can, I want to bring your attention to a portion of Scripture that you're familiar with, and for the sake of time, I won't read the entire portion of Scripture. You can write this down if you would like to, but it's found over in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, and the particular translation that I've pulled up is the Passion's Translation. And so, like I said, I'm not going to take the time to read it. I'll just basically paraphrase it. But take the time to look through that and read it. Because, again, in the Passion's Translation, it really expounds on some things and it helps us see things in a different light. But if you recall, this is the story of the prodigal son. And the Bible tells us that there was a son that came to a place in his life where he says, Dad, he said, I'm tired of living at home. And he says, isn't it about time that you divide the inheritance and give me what belongs to me? And the Bible says that the father, now this is the interesting thing. The Bible says actually that the father divided it amongst the two sons. We always thought, well, he just gave it to the one son and the one son went and wasted what he had. But the Bible says that he actually divided and dispersed to the two sons that he had. There was one son that stayed with the father and one son that left. And you again know the story if you've read it. The Bible says that he took that money and he just went and lived wild. He just lived extravagantly. One scripture, part of the translation of the scripture says that he partied it up, doing just all kinds of things with his buddies and prostitutes. But then the money ran out. Well, what do you do when the money runs out? Well, you got to come up with some kind of an answer, right? Well, he ran out of money, and the Bible says that there was a great famine in the land. And he convinced a farmer to say, hey, will you let me work for you? I mean, here he's living it up, living large, living extravagantly, and now he's working for a farmer. And the Bible says that he became so hungry, not having food, that he began to eat the pig slop that was fed to the pigs. I mean, think about that. Nasty. If you've ever seen pig slop, whoo-hoo, baby. You can't, you know, you just wonder why pigs can eat that stuff. You know what I mean? And so, as he's sitting there eating pig slop, the Bible says that he comes to his senses. He comes to a place of realization. And he says, my servants, or my father's servants, rather, he said, my father takes care of them. They are fed well. All their needs are met. And he said, they are treated better than what I am living right now. He says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to repent. I'm going to say, Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. I've sinned against you. Let me just be a servant, right? And so he picks himself up and he starts to make his way back to the father's house. As he's on the way, the Bible says that the father sees him afar off. And we'll look at some things here in just a moment. But the Bible says that the father, seeing him afar off, dressed, seeing his son dressed as a beggar, runs to him, embraces him, hugs him, and kisses him continually. I mean, can you think about it? I mean, you haven't seen your long-lost child. You don't know whether they're dead. And you have been looking for them, hoping that they're coming. And you see them coming. I mean, you wouldn't care whether they smelt bad, looked bad. You would just love them unconditionally, wouldn't you? Oh, let me look at you. Let me hold you. Let me kiss you, right? And then once again, the Bible says that once he saw his son, he turns to his servants and he says, listen, my son is home. He was once dead, but now he's alive. And he says, now go get my robe, get the best robe, get my robe and put it on him. Go get my signet ring and put it on him. He says, get shoes and put it on his feet and let's make a feast because once again, my son was once dead, but now he's alive and my son has come home. And once again, we're going to look at just how this is a type and shadow of who God is. And I hope you're starting to hear some things where it's starting to resonate with your heart, just how God sees you. But then the Bible also says this. It says that he had another son that was out in the fields working. He comes home, and as he comes home, he hears all the commotion, the music playing, and sees people dancing. And he asks the servants, he says, what's going on? And he says, your brother has come home. And he goes to his dad, and he says, Dad, what are you doing? He says, you're throwing this party for him? And he says, yes, your brother's come home. He says, Dad. He says, listen, I've been here the whole time. I've worked like a slave for you. I've given my life for you. And you've never thrown me a party. He said, but yet you throw a party for him? And he says, son, while you've lived with me, he said, everything that I've had is yours. He said, let's celebrate the fact that your brother's come home. Amen? Now, let's begin to extract some things concerning that particular passage of Scripture. I said, today I want you to begin to really see God as Father. Because what we just read is really a picture of God's heart toward each and every one of us. Amen? But now when it comes to the Father, remember I said to you that, you know, it's easy for us to say, oh, but that's different. That's not a natural Father. It's different because it's all spiritual. No, listen, God wants you to know Him as Father. But the devil has been so good at spinning a lie that it's difficult to know God as Father. So let's look at a couple lies for a moment here. Number one, in regards to the one son, let's jump to the end of the story. The Bible says that the son that remained with the father, he was angry and he makes this statement. He says, I've always been, or the father says, you've always been by my side and everything that I have is yours. This is a lie that the enemy has told us. That somehow you don't qualify, somehow you've messed up, somehow you don't deserve. If you're walking with God, God wants you to know today that everything that He has, everything that He has said, everything that is in His Word belongs to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to prove yourself. The Bible says that whatever belongs to the Father belongs to you. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, it belongs to you. Come on, and again, I said this is a lie of the enemy, because once again, we keep on thinking that we're trying to get something from God, but He is your Father. And He's willing and desires to give you the very best. Amen. I'll give you an example of a father. You know, my oldest daughter and my son, this was about 3 or maybe 4 weeks ago. After church, they went with my parents. So my parents, I don't know, took them out to lunch or whatever. Well, then I have my middle daughter. She's with us. And she's like, "What's up?" She goes, "They didn't ask me to go." And it was just a misunderstanding. But nevertheless, she's with us. And I said, "Well," I said, "wherever you want to go." I said, we'll go." And she says, "Okay." And so we start talking about different things. And I said, "Well, there's this place and there's this place. And, you know, this place is really good. You probably like it." So she finally says, "Okay, let's go there." Well, so then when we go there, I say to her, I said, "Now, listen, don't break the bank." I said, "You can get whatever you want, but don't break the bank." You know what I mean? But then here's the thing. We kept going back and forth, and I'm like, "Oh, whatever, we'll go over here. We'll go to McDonald's." Not McDonald's, but kind of the equivalent. And then I'm like, "Well, why am I doing that?" I just told her, wherever she wants to go, we'll go. So I said, "Okay, you want to go there? Let's go there." Well, so then we sit down. And so whatever reason, this is my middle daughter. She somehow miraculously finds the most expensive thing on the menu. She's got expensive taste. That's good. And so she says, "Dad, this really looks good." And I'm like, "Really? You know, they got a hamburger and french fries over here. You know, that looks really good too, right?" She goes, "But Dad, that looks really good." And I'm like, "Okay. I said to you, wherever you want to go and whatever you want to eat, there you go." So I had to check my attitude because, again, I was trying to be stingy. But then what did it do? I said, "Listen, I want to bless my daughter." So my point is this. You think that God is trying to be cheap and chintzy with you. He's not. Everything that the Father has is not coming to you. It is yours. Can somebody say amen? Number two, the prodigal, in regards to this story, it says that, number one, he didn't realize what he had. He didn't realize what he had, and so therefore, he felt like he was missing out on something, and I got to go discover it. And isn't it interesting that the older son or the other son said something similar? He said, "You know what? I've been working for you, Dad, and I've been living like a slave. In other words, I've been depraved. I've been missing out. I've been wanting to do things, but I've had to work for you, and I've been imprisoned by you, and therefore there's things that I have been missing." Listen, I want you to know that that is a lie of the enemy. I don't care how long you've been imprisoned. Listen, there is nothing that the world can offer you that can compete with God. If the devil is saying, "Well, you've missed out, you've been gone way too long," it's a lie, because the world cannot compete nor offer anything of substance or joy or peace that God can give you. Can somebody say amen? God is a good God. Amen. Number three, the Bible says that concerning the prodigal son, it says that he came to his senses. So in other words, there was a time when the senses were dull. I said this is a lie of the enemy. There was a time when his senses were dull and he said to himself, "This is acceptable." So in other words, when we don't acknowledge or recognize how good the Father is, there'll come a place in our life where we'll say, "You know what, I guess this is good enough. I guess this is as good as it's going to get." No, you've just lost sight of how good your Father is. Let's stop being dull in our spirit, in our faith walk, to simply just be accepting what the enemy throws at us or says, "This is good enough." Amen? And number four, there was the sense of unworthiness. Remember, the prodigal son said this, "If I can just be a servant, if I can just be a servant," right? So in other words, the enemy works really hard to keep your mentality to stay where you're at. rather than coming into a place of sonship, he says, no, listen, just be a servant. You are not a servant of God. You are sons and daughters. Amen? There's an entirely different relationship. He treated the servants very well. They lacked nothing. It says that they had all. But if the servants have all and are taken care of very well, how much more do you think the Father wants to take care of his kids and not just treat them like servants? Amen? Once again, we've got to dispel the lie. All right, so now let's look at your father. Let's look at the truth of your father. Now again, we'll go through these rather quickly. But number one, he's good to all. Once again, I made a mention of it already, but it says, the scripture says this, it says, there are many workers at my father's house who have all the food that they want and plenty to spare, but they're lacking nothing. That's your heart for you, or God's heart for you, rather. God wants to supply all of your needs. He's good unto all. He won't treat you as a servant. He'll treat you as a son. Number two, he's waiting for you. Just as we see the Father looking for and waiting for his Son, God, the Father, is looking for you. Remember the scripture says that that Jesus left the 99 for the one? It don't matter where you're at. He's waiting for you. It don't matter how far you've gone. It don't matter how dark it's gotten. It don't matter how deep you've fallen. He's waiting for you. He's looking for you. Number three. Sees, or God the Father sees the real you. I said he sees the real you. Remember the Father says, it says from a long distance he saw the Son. The Son left with the best apparel. He left with lots of wealth. But when he returned, the Bible says he was dressed as a beggar. Even dressed as a beggar, the Father saw the real him. You may look in the mirror and try to disqualify yourself. You might have been listening to the lies for the longest time. God wants you to know he sees the real you. And you might say, well, God isn't going to like the real me. Listen, it's not the real you that you see. It's not the real you that you have believed about or believed in because of the mistakes, the failures, or whatever else. He sees the real you, the one that Jesus died on the cross for, that was worth his very best. He sees the real you. Amen? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he sees you. Number four, the stain of your sin, the stench of your own actions cannot stop the love of the Father. I said, it don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what you've done. I've known people that have said, I can't forgive myself concerning this thing. And they hold it over their own head because for some reason they don't want to let it go. They feel like they have to hold themselves accountable. Listen, Jesus forgave all of your sins. Why do we hang on to things to say that God's love cannot cover that? It says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. What is nothing? It is simply two words put together, no thing. No thing can separate us from the love of the Father. Number five, he turns to the servant. Everything in this world, God has made for you. I said, everything in this world, God has made for you. You're a son, you're a daughter. I shared this morning with our team, the morning team that was getting ready. I said, I was cutting grass yesterday. And as I was getting caught up, you know, from the week being gone. I was cutting grass and I was in one particular area of the grass. And I had my earbuds in and I was listening to some old time music. And it was a song called I Exalt Thee. I exalt thee. Remember that song? I exalt thee. And so I'm just worshiping the Lord. I'm praising God. And as I'm cutting my grass, all of a sudden, I smell this sweet flowery aroma. And I'm thinking, what did I just run over? And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't run over anything because I know where I'm at. I didn't run over my flowers. I mean, I'm out here in the middle of the yard cutting my grass. I must have ran over something that was flowery or smell perfumey. And the Lord said to me, he said, don't dismiss things that I do and put them off on natural things. He said, you were worshiping me and you smelt the fragrance of God. You see, the Father wants to reveal himself. Amen. Everything in this world, God made for you. You remember last week's message? God wants to honor you. Amen. Sim was telling me one time, he said that he was just praying and the Lord said to him, he brought him over to Matthew chapter 6. And in that scripture that it says that he so takes care of the sparrows that they lack and want for nothing. He says, but how much more greater are you than they? Oh, come on. Think about that. The revelation of that, that the Heavenly Father says, hey, I want you to know something. Look at how well I take care of my creation. Look, they want for nothing, but I have so clothed you and spoiled you and loved you that, Lord, you are so much more than they. Amen. Why? Because God loves us and he wants to be a father. Number six, his supply does not run out. God's supply is just not just one and done. There's more. Remember, the Bible says that the son received his inheritance, but so did the other brother. So that means that the father split up the inheritance. So maybe the father still had one third of what he had. But the Bible says when the son came home, what the father still had as reserve, he gave it to the son that came home. So as when it comes to God, it's not one and done. You might say, but I messed up the one that he gave. Listen, it don't matter. God loves you so much that he's willing to take chances on you again. In fact, he loves you so much, he's willing to stick with you till you get it. And I can't tell you how many times he stuck with me. He said, are you bonehead? How long are you going to be stiff-necked? Just be stubborn, be stupid. But he stuck with me. Aren't you glad? And then the last one, number seven. The Bible says, put my robe on him. Put my ring on him. Put my shoes on him. Let's have a feast and celebrate. When you put the robe on him, what it means is there's no distinction between him and me. That's my robe. When you see him, you see me. When you put my ring on, it's a never-ending circle, meaning our union can never be broken. He says, put my shoes on him. Why? Because wherever he goes, he's still my son. Wherever you go, you're still his kid. And God just wants to celebrate you. He wants you to know that you may have felt rejected, abandoned. Maybe you feel like you weren't loved. Maybe you didn't have the best example. Maybe you feel like you don't know how to do the job yourself adequately. Maybe you feel like you've messed up and you think, dear God, there's no return. The Father never gave up on you. You always have a Father in God. And he's still working on you to help you become the best fathers. Amen. Let's stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here in this place, and you would say, I just want to know the Father. I'm trusting that you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's because of Jesus that you have access to the Father. But maybe the Father or a relationship with Him has just been distant or vague or untouchable. But you're here and you say, you know what? I need and want and desire a revelation of a relationship with my Heavenly Father. Nobody's looking around, but if that's you, would you just raise your hand? Nobody in here desires to know the Father. I'm gonna ask that question again. Does anybody in here have a desire, a greater desire, to know the Heavenly Father? If you're in this place and you want to have a greater revelation of the knowledge of the Heavenly Father, just raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, then let me give you an invitation to receive Jesus. Maybe you're not understanding my question, but if you're not raising your hand, then obviously you need Jesus. Because if you don't know Jesus, then you won't have a desire to know the Father. Amen. If you put your hand up, you can put it down. Thank you. So once again, maybe I didn't ask the question right, but I'm going to pray for you all. And I'm just going to pray that the Father gets all over you and that you come to know Him. And you might have felt like you've purposed to keep Him distant because you just don't want to be that vulnerable. But listen, I'm going to pray that the love of God gets so heavy on you that you can't do anything but resist to not resist the love of the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now to visit every single one of us in this room, those that are watching or listening online. I pray that you would so invade and interrupt our lives, that we would sense your presence, that we would hear the whispers of your voice, that we would feel the hug and the kisses of your love towards us, that God, you so desire to want to know us, and that you want to reveal your heart and your care, that you want to supply all of our needs. Father, you so want to be real. And I pray right now that if there's any reservations for any reason, any hardness of heart, any pride, any misunderstanding, Father, that the love of God would break it all. Father, we so want to love you. We so want to be loved by you. And we thank you that you are revealing yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I trust that you got something out of that this morning. Amen. And I'm trusting that you have a hungry heart for more of God. So once again, I'm expecting, let me just be real clear, I'm expecting to see the GVC church family come to church prayer. Let's pray for a move of God. You might say, well, I don't know how to pray like you guys do. It's okay. Don't let that move you. I don't care. Let's just come and pray together. Be united in heart. Give a supply of your faith and your voice. And you'll find that it causes you to be hungry. Amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.